Welcome to a special review recap episode of Broadway Radio. My name is Matt Tamanini. On today's episode, we are here to bring you all of the reviews for the original Broadway production of The Thanksgiving Play. How we do these review recap episodes is if you are listening to this in Patreon, it is a standalone episode. But if you're hearing it in the regular feed, welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, April 21st, 2023. The show opened up on Thursday night at the Helen Hayes Theater from Second Stage. It is currently scheduled to run through June 4th. The play originally played off-Broadway from Playwrights Horizons in 2018. It was commissioned and originally produced by the Artist Repertory Theater in Portland, Oregon. It is written by Larissa Fasthorse and directed by Rachel Chavkin. As we've talked about many times on Today on Broadway, it has a murderer's row of a cast with stars of both stage and screen. The cast consists of Darcy Carden in her Broadway debut, two-time Tony winner Katie Finneran, Scott Foley, and Chris Sullivan. When a troupe of really, really well-meaning theater artists attempt to put on a culturally sensitive Thanksgiving school pageant, things get messy. Hilarious and poignant, this delicious play skewers everything right, wrong, and woke in America. I'll be honest with you, this was on near the very top of my list for my upcoming trip to New York, but having read the reviews, I have to be honest, I'm not sure it's there anymore, not because of the content of the reviews and what the critics thought, but one of the things that comes up quite a bit is the fact that this is a show that puts you almost in, as I think Jesse Green called it, a perma cringe. And if you have been listening to me talk about things that I enjoy and don't enjoy for years here on Broadway Radio, you know that I don't do well with cringe. I don't do well with secondhand embarrassment. I can't even really watch the first couple seasons of The Office before they kind of mellowed that out. I'm recording this on Thursday night. I went to a show that had a talkback afterwards. Man, the talkback makes my skin crawl. I have to really think about whether my love for all of these performers is going to make me overcome that and see it or not. But anything cringy makes me super hesitant to see it. But as for the reviews, the review aggregator site Did They Like It, as of recording time, has recorded 11 reviews. 5 of them were positive, 3 were mixed, and 3 were negative. To be honest with you, these were not nearly as good of reviews as I was expecting. I don't remember exactly how all of the reviews broke down when the show played off-Broadway a few years ago, but I do remember the universal acclaim that I at least experienced through conversations that I had with other people, so this was a little bit of a surprise. We will start out with Jesse Green, the aforementioned critic for the New York Times, who did make the show a critic's pick. He said, quote, "Rehearsal rooms are embarrassing places. Actors jockey, directors bloviate, writers fume at liberties taken. We see all of that in the rehearsal room where the Thanksgiving play is set, even though what's being rehearsed is just a holiday pageant for elementary school students. Yet, not just any holiday pageant. Meant to lift up the Native American point of view despite including no Native Americans, this one twists the drama teacher who is creating it, along with her colleagues, into pretzels of performative wokeness, so mortifying they induce a perma-cringe." There's that term. "If that setup makes the Thanksgiving play, which opened on Thursday at the Helen Hayes Theater, sound like a backstage farce akin to Peter Pan Goes Wrong, which opened the day before, that's true. In both plays, everyone behaves badly, tempers flare, and nothing flies right. But for Larissa Fasthorse, the author of the Thanksgiving play, farce is not an end in itself. Rather, it is the hilarious envelope in which she delivers a brutal satire about myth-making, and thus, in a way, about theater itself. The stories we create could do almost as much harm as the false histories they purport to commemorate," she shows, "and well-meaning people can too." After comparing the show to Peter Pan Goes Wrong at the beginning of his review, Jesse Green finishes his review by comparing the show to another play recently seen on Broadway. He said, quote, "But the Thanksgiving play is not primarily a brief for correcting American history. Like Tracy Letts' The Minutes, which also uncovered a horrific massacre hiding in the clothing of civic pageantry, Fasthorse is interested in how new information, new only to some people, might change the stories we tell in the future. The first step, to judge by the absurd crew on stage, will be to change the storytellers. Fasthorse, being the first Native American woman known to have a play produced on Broadway, maybe we finally started." Adam Feldman of Time Out in New York was also positive. He gave the show 4 out of 5 stars, saying, quote, "Fasthorse effectively roasts her characters as turkeys, trussed by their own self-consciousness. In a swift 90 minutes, the Thanksgiving play delivers solid laughs at the expense of targets that are, admittedly, at this point, not unfamiliar. Clueless liberals so busy holding space that they don't get around to filling it with anything. Greg Evans of Deadline was negative, saying, quote, "Opening tonight at the Hayes Theater, the Thanksgiving play, directed by Rachel Chavkin and starring Darcy Carden, Katie Finner, and Scott Foley and Chris Sullivan, all of whom, director and cast, have done much better work on other stages, is the sort of easy target satire that should, by all rights, have sophisticated New York audiences seeing their own foibles and smiling at their own political vulnerabilities. So where exactly does this Thanksgiving go awry? Starts with the soup, ends with the nuts." Juan A. Ramirez was mixed, writing for Theaterly, saying, quote, "Clueless, well-meaning white people are the butt of the joke, but not the target of any meaningful criticism in Larissa Fast Horse's The Thanksgiving Play, a clueless but well-meaning satire receiving its Broadway premiere at Second Stage's Hayes Theater." Jackson McHenry was also mixed, writing for Vulture, saying, quote, "The problem is that The Thanksgiving Play intentionally hurdles its characters toward a dead end, like Wile E. Coyote toward a tunnel entrance that's just drawn on the side of a rock. And it gets stuck once they crash. It takes them down, but never justifies why we're here with them in the first place." Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast, also mixed, said, quote, "This play, written in 2015 and showing its age given current events, is a skewering of white liberal pieties. The woke are a now familiar figure of mockery of those on the left and right. Those people who try to do and say all the right things, and in the gap between words and deeds, end up revealing their own prejudices, blind spots, and inefficacy. An empty politics of gesture and torturously silly word salads." Haley Levitt of Theatermania was positive, saying, quote, "It's a brilliant comedic premise that has aged like a fine wine since its 2018 off-Broadway debut at Playwrights Horizons. Who would have predicted that in just 5 years, we would be living in a world where school board meetings would host theatrical protests against critical race theory and Ron DeSantis would pick and choose which parts of black history to allow into the state of Florida? Fast Horse, in turn, uses her play to pose the query, what's a social justice warrior to do? And answers with four pitiful versions of, not much." As you read through all of the reviews, they do praise all of the performers, but nearly each and every one singles out specifically Darcy Carden and Katie Finneran, the two performers that probably have the most comedic chops. They seem to excel especially in the humor of the show, which, with as much as I love both of them, might help me get over some of my hesitation to secondhand embarrassment. All right, that is all that I have for you today. If you're listening to this on Patreon, have a wonderful rest of your Thursday evening or Friday. If you're hearing this in the regular feed, I will now send you over to the rest of Today on Broadway. Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, April 21st, 2023. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, as people are listening to this, my episode interviewing the current Roxy Hart on Broadway, Olivia Holt, is in both the Patreon and the regular feed. I love that episode. I love that interview. I'm a big fan of hers. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing her as Roxy in Chicago, in New York, coming up here next month. So if you want to check that out, please do. Also, we are recording on Thursday, which means that the Thanksgiving play is opening at the Helen Hayes Theater. We will have a review recap episode coming up later on Thursday after this episode is available in the Patreon feed. So if you want to hear all of that stuff before anybody else, head over to patreon.com/Broadway Radio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. Grace, I think you have. Do you have tickets already to see the Thanksgiving play?
I am supposed to see it very soon. Okay. It opens tonight, though. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's a play by Larissa Fast Horse that originally was produced by Playwrights Horizons off-Broadway in 2018. It's directed by Rachel Chavkin. The cast is absolutely absurd with Darcy Carden, Katie Finneran, Scott Foley, Chris Sullivan. Very much looking forward to that and to be able to see the reviews that come out on Thursday. Unfortunately, we do have to start the show today with some sad news, as it was announced on Wednesday night that Todd Hames, who is the artistic director and CEO of the Roundabout Theater Company, had passed away due to complications of osteosarcoma. Hames had been living with the cancer since 2002 when he was diagnosed with sarcoma of the jaw, obviously lived 21 years past that. But if you are unfamiliar with Hames, his career trajectory at the Roundabout Theater Company is absolutely nuts. He joined the company when he was 26 in the mid 80s, when the company was in the middle of bankruptcy proceedings. The board had actually voted to shut down RTC, but one of the board members had given them enough money to kind of keep going. And Hames was instrumental in turning that company around to now making it one of the most influential, not only New York not-for-profit theater companies, but one of the most influential theater companies in the entire country. They own 5 theaters in Midtown Manhattan, of course, 3 Broadway theaters, the American Airlines, Studio 54, and the Stephen Sondheim. And they have an off-Broadway and an off-off-Broadway space in the same building. He's been instrumental in kind of making that one of the destination theaters for all of New York. A great obituary by Michael Paulson in the New York Times, if you want to check that out. But really remarkable career, especially when you think about where Roundabout was when Hames got involved. And to think he was only 66 years old. Very sad. He survived by his wife and children, stepchildren and grandchildren. So our thoughts go out to everybody who knew and loved Todd Hames, both as a person, as an executive, and as a theater maker. I know that his impact will be long felt throughout the New York theater community. All right, let's get into some more traditional show and casting news. Grace, this feels really, really exciting to me. And this is a huge opportunity, I think, for a performer who's been in the business and around some really big shows for a long time. But this is a major, major step up for her to have the chance to be a leading lady on Broadway. Yesterday, it was announced that Ariel Jacobs will play Imelda Marcos in the Broadway production of Here Lies Love. She will be joining the previously announced Jose Lana and Conrad Rickamore, who had both continued with the production since its off-Broadway run at the Public Theater. The show will begin performances at the Broadway Theater on June 17th, ahead of an official opening night on July 20th. Jacobs had previously been seen on Broadway as Nina and In the Heights. I actually saw her in the national tour of the show as Nina as well. She's also played Nessa Rose in Wicked and most recently was playing Princess Jasmine in Aladdin. She's done a lot of work off Broadway as well and around the country, even done some of the Disney Princess concert tours. But this is exciting. Like, she's one of those people who's like always been really good, had some like pretty decently profile gigs, but this is a huge step up in a role that really was tailor-made to Ruthie Ann Miles, who did it originally off-Broadway. And it just seems like a star-making opportunity for Ariel. But it seems like a great opportunity for her, Grace.
Yeah, it's a huge property. It's a huge undertaking. I know that a lot of people were really speculative on who was going to carry that torch after Ruthie, knowing that she's, you know, in Sweeney right now. So it's very exciting that they were able to make this cast announcement. We had hoped for one earlier, even though we had like kind of rumored that it was going to be her, because their tickets are already on sale and they're already renovating the theater and they announced Conrad and everyone else. So it's exciting to see that they're rolling out some really gorgeous images. And I'm blanking on who photographed it, but it was really stunning. So, listen, it's coming. And I am so curious to see it on Broadway. I got to see it downtown and I'm excited to see Ariel in this role.
Yeah. They invited some journalists and some folks to come into the Broadway theater to kind of see how they were renovating it. So I think it was either earlier this week or last week, we got to see some of the design, some of the pictures. Really absolutely incredible. And of course, when you have Alex Timbers, who is directing, you know he is going to go big, especially when you pair him with David Korins, who is doing the set design. Just this is going to be a big honking deal. So excited to see what happens with this show. Let's get into some other show and casting news. And this one was interesting. I don't think maybe we talked about this when the season was announced, but I don't remember a lot of the details. But yesterday, the La Jolla Playhouse announced the cast and creative team for its upcoming world premiere production of Love All, the new play by Anna Deavere Smith, who looks at the life and the career of Billie Jean King. As a sports fan myself, having the opportunity to see Billie Jean King's story on stage is always exciting. But when you start to throw in someone like Anna Deavere Smith, who is writing it, Mark Bruni is directing it. Very, very exciting for me to see kind of the melding of those two worlds. The show is scheduled to run from June 3rd through July 2nd. They also announced the cast. It is going to be led by Chelina Kennedy playing Billie Jean King. And one of my favorites, all-time favorites, Kate Rockwell will be playing Marilyn Barnett, who was a former hairdresser who became Billie Jean King's assistant and also her lover, Billie Jean King, was married to a man, and she started carrying on a relationship with Marilyn Barnett, and she is eventually who outed her. Excited to see that and wonder what will happen when you get people like Anna Deavere Smith and Mark Bruni and Chelina Kennedy and Kate Rockwell involved. I would not be surprised if they are hoping for some sort of future life for this project.
I do want to say, I did see at 59th Street, East 59th, a couple of years ago, a show called Balls that was based off of the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King, Houston Astrodome event. So I have
Battle
seen
of the Sexes, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool concept show that I really enjoyed. And so I'm excited to see another kind of like iteration of this story.
Yeah, and when you have Anna Deavere Smith doing this, obviously, I don't think this is like the documentary theater that she normally does where it's, you know, the original words of the people involved. I think this is, although Billie Jean King has been involved and at least supportive of the show, I don't think this is that kind of journalistic theater. So I'm interested to see, you know, how she approaches something that is still based on real life, but not in the same form that she often does with like, you know, like Twilight Los Angeles 1992 and stuff like that. But anyway, moving on, heading back to Broadway, the Manhattan Theater Club announced that its world premiere of Summer 1976 has been extended for 2 extra weeks. It will now play through June 10th at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. And this one really, really shocked me so much so, Grace, that as soon as I saw the press release, I went and bought tickets. But the J2 Spotlight Musical Theater Company, which is run, the artistic director and one of the founders, is friend Robert W. Schneider. He's been on the show. I've interviewed him about the theater company before here. They announced the cast and the creative team for their upcoming off-Broadway run of the Goodbye Girl musical. This is a musical that featured a book by Neil Simon. It was based on the film of his by the same name. Featured music by Marvin Hamlisch and lyrics by David Zippel. David Zippel is returning to direct the show, and that in itself is super exciting. But then they announced the cast. Santino Fontana and Sierra Bagas are leading this production, which is absolutely incredible to me because in the first 2 or 3 years of J2 Spotlight, they've talked about the fact that they've wanted to be able to highlight some folks who were unknown talents, mainly because they're a new company. They don't have a ton of money to pay big name stars. But when Santino Fontana and Sierra Bagas are going to do a show together off Broadway for just a limited run, May 7th through the 21st, you have to take notice of that. And then as you keep going on in the cast list, Chris Sieber is also in this cast. So it's a great opportunity to see a show that you wouldn't normally get to see because it is not done very often. Bernadette Peters and Martin Short starred in it in the musical in 1993. Richard Dreyfuss and Marsha Mason starred in the original movie in 1977. So I was just kind of dumbfounded by this cast and this director, honestly, coming together to do this show off Broadway with this company. I had to jump on it. So I'm going to be seeing that on May 20th, I think, my second day in town. So very much looking forward to that. Then going from one off-Broadway show to another, following 3 sold-out runs in London's West End and a UK tour, the drag queen killer comedy Death Drop will be setting up shop in New York at New World Stages beginning on June 30th with an opening night on July 13th. The U.S. premiere of Death Drop is going to star a host of RuPaul's Drag Race stars, including Jujubee, Sugarcane, Peaches Amon Cummings, Wang Newton, which is, that's just brilliant right there, and Holly Stars, who actually wrote the script, and Kiki Ball Change, who I've actually heard of, will serve as the understudy. In the show, it's 1991, and a gaggle of guests gather on Tuck Island for a soiree like no other. The tension rises as the outrageous guests reveal their suspicious and sordid pasts, and one by one they sashay away until at the last nerve-shredding, side-splitting moment, the surviving guests find out who done it. So excited about this, and just for the fact that with everything going on in this country, trying to criminalize and demonize drag performances, to have an off-Broadway show not only featuring drag as like part of the storytelling, but some of the most famous and popular drag queens in the country, I think that's really special and really important. So I hope people go check that out at New World Stages. Another off-Broadway show, the Amas Musical Theater Company is going to be presenting the off-Broadway premiere of a new show called The Gospel According to Heather, which has a book, music, and lyrics by Paul Gordon, who you might know from his musical adaptations of Jane Eyre, Emma, Daddy Long Legs, Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, a lot of those shows that are in the, or books that are in the public domain. It'll be playing Theater 555 or 555. I'm not sure how they want that styled, but it'll begin performances on Wednesday, June 14th and run through July 9th. In the show, Heather Krebs just wants a boyfriend, but how can she even navigate her way through high school if she might be the new Messiah? I mean, first world problems there. A small town in Ohio grapples with politics, religion, and teenage romance in what is described as an eclectic pop musical. And finally, in this section, you know, Grace, I am not of the generation or even demographics maybe that is often calling people daddy or mommy. That is tends to be a much more a younger group and more online group than I am. But if I was to call somebody mommy, this one, this person might be it, not to get too weird. But it was announced yesterday that Hannah Waddingham is set to star in her own musical holiday special for Apple TV Plus called Hannah Waddingham, Home for Mommy. Christmas. Mommy. I mean, it fits, right?
Yes.
As long as I have your permission. The special will feature her, of course, a bunch of surprised guests and doing performances and musical numbers. She will also have her band with her. It'll be recorded in front of a live studio audience at the London Coliseum, which is very exciting. And as we all know as theater fans, not only is Hannah Waddingham great on Ted Lasso, and she was in Game of Thrones and Sex Education and Hocus Pocus 2, but she's a 3-time Olivier Award nominee for Kiss Me, Kate, A Little Night Music, and Monty Python's Spamalot. When you look at those, the fact that those are the three shows that she has Olivier nominations for, Grace, Kiss Me, Kate, a classic, like old school golden age musical theater piece, A Little Night Music, a Sondheim 70s, I think maybe 80s show, and then an early 2000s, you know, modern musical comedy, Monty Python's Spamalot. Like, that just shows what huge a breadth of talent that she has. Like, it never really occurred to me, even though I knew that, but it never really occurred to me just how diverse her musical theater background was.
Oh, no, full agree. I think it's one of those people that, you know, like Tom Holland, where you kind of find out as soon as they hit like mainstream. And then from there, everybody and their mom is like, okay, so what can we get them in? And it's like, famously, the theater does not make half as much money as they're making on TV. But you know what? Much like Jessica Chastain, you have to return to the theater. And so there will be a day. There will be a day where we get to have that again.
I understand why it isn't happening right now, because she is, you know, an Emmy winner. She's booked and busy. That's great. But I guarantee you that there are producers both in London and New York who are on the phone with her reps constantly, I working on new things, trying to get her in for revivals. I have no doubt that there are people who are making it their job to get her back on stage in something as soon as her schedule allows. All right, Grace, let's wrap up the show with a recommendation. I don't know if you have anything. You're out of town, so I don't know if you have anything that you want to, you know, shout out, but the latest performance from Schmigadoon is now available. It is a new song that features both Alan Cumming and Christian Chenoweth called Good Enough to Eat. Unsurprisingly, it is a bit of a riff on Sweeney Todd. Their characters in the show are riffs on Sweeney Todd. But what I thought was interesting about this is it also has a lot of references to like Annie and Bye Bye Birdie and other things. But it didn't even occur to me, even though they were both in the first season of Schmigadoon. I've seen the shots of them ostensibly as Sweeney and Mrs. Lovett together again. But it wasn't until I was watching this and they were kind of talking about kids that like, wait, they played Rooster and Lily. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, the one with Audra McDonald and Kathy Bates.
Yeah, and Victor Garber. So like, it didn't even occur to me until I was watching this video and I was like, wait a second. They've thrown around orphans before. This isn't the first time they've done this together.
It's not, and it won't be the last.
Whether on screen or in real life, they're going to throw around some orphans.
Oliver, I don't care. Yeah,
there was definitely some Oliver references in here too, but that was fun. I still have not watched the season. I started to watch the first episode on the plane out to Las Vegas, and I just haven't caught up with it yet. There's so much other TV. Speaking of Hannah Waddingham, this episode of Ted Lasso this past week was chef's kiss, like one of the best, definitely the best all season, one of the best in the series. So I loved that. But anyway, anything else, Grace, that you want to shout out? Anything coming up or anything that you've seen that you think needs to be discussed here?
Once again, go see Titanic playing downtown at Union Square at the Daryl Roth Theater, D2. Can't say it enough. Really, no one's paying me. I simply am telling you all to go see it. It is your cup of tea. And if it's not, it will be.
I just feel really good that, like, I saw it back at its other location at the Asylum. And I've been telling you and Ashley both, you are going to love it. Go see it. Go see it. Go see it. You're going to love it. And it took you guys a long time to see it. And then when you finally did, within a few days of each other, you both are now raving about it. I feel like because I don't live in town, you two are often the ones telling me about things that I'm going to like and what I'm not going to like. So I feel a little bit of like the reverse of this because I got to be the one to see it before you two did. So I'm feeling very gratified about that. All right, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, even though I no longer have my blue check mark on Twitter, at BWW. Matt, Grace, where can people find you?
You can follow me on all forms of social media for the time being at It's Grace Aki. And let's say a little prayer that I get to take a nap soon.
Unlikely. Really, really unlikely. All right, everybody, if you happen to tune in to any social media coverage around the premiere of Prima Facie on Sunday, you might see a familiar face. Not me. Grace, you got any plans for Sunday?
So far, TBD, but be watching my socials.
Yeah, lots of that. If the thing you want to happen happens, like, I will absolutely poop my pants. Like, I want that to be... like that should be the first thing on your obit if you get this to happen.
Either way, we're in for a wild ride. I will say it's a crazy packed season this year, and I am so fortunate that I've been able to do so many things that I am excited and passionate about, especially like interviewing creative teams and like being a part of these exciting nights. So stay tuned. But if we get to make Matt poop in his pants, I'll be there.
Yeah. I mean, why not? But all right, everybody, have a wonderful Friday, a wonderful weekend. We'll be back to talk to you on Monday.